The internationally acclaimed Cyprus String Quartet is presenting a chamber concert in Oak Ridge this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. and is being given in Pollard Auditorium. And on the phone with me right now is the cellist of the group, Jennifer Kletzel. Thanks so much for speaking with me today, Jennifer.
Thanks, Melanie. Nice to be here.
Who are the other members of the quartet?
Okay, so our first violinist is named Cecily Ward. Second violinist is Tom Stone. And the violist is named Ethan Filner.
And how long have you been playing together? How did you all meet?
We formed in San Francisco in 1996. So this is our 19th season of playing together. And three of us are original members. Ethan joined us just 15 years ago. We had a different violist before him, but we found the right match in Ethan. So this group has solidly been together for 15 years, which is extremely rare in our business.
Yeah. What made you all decide to form the quartet?
Well, I mean, the one-word answer for that is the music. So we were of a like mind that we wanted to spend all of our time just immersing ourselves in this music, and especially music like of the quartets of Beethoven and Dvorak and composers like that. But we have an unusual forming story in that, you know, so many quartets are put together in conservatories by teachers who think, you know, this is a good match of players, let's put these guys together. And then they have this nice sort of umbrella. People are encouraging them, listening to them, helping them, giving them career advice. It didn't work out like that for us when we were all in school. So really the beginning of the quartet was Tom and Cecily had been studying together with the same teacher for many years and playing in a quartet, and they were searching for the best partners. And after they finished their master's degree, they literally started calling anybody they knew and even people they didn't know, saying, would you like to move to San Francisco and, you know, start a string quartet? And I was living in New York at the time. A mutual friend gave each other the names, and we ended up playing together. And I took that leap and moved from New York to San Francisco. And then we began to rehearse together 6 hours a day and take no outside work because we wanted to focus on this. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard. You know, a lot of sacrifices made early on, a lot of peanut butter, a lot of ramen noodles. But after a few years of that, we had learned quite a bit of repertoire and had sort of defined who we wanted to be. And people started calling us back. And so it's, you know, it is our full-time job. We don't teach. We tour, we perform, we make recordings. That's what we do.
Was there sort of like a trial period to see if your personalities would mesh together?
You know, it's funny. When I first decided, and it was a really big decision, you know, to move across country and try this out, I remember saying to someone, I'm going to give it 3 years because I felt like that's what it would take to really see where this could go. And mm-hmm. then we had, you know, a personnel change soon after that. So then I was like, okay, I'll give it a couple more years and see mm-hmm. if it gels. You know, no, I don't think there was really a trial. I think, you know, we always come back to the fact that we love this music so much and that being able to work on it with the same group of people, it's a really rich and rewarding experience. Not mm-hmm. that there aren't difficulties with that, but it's also, you know, when we go out and we perform a piece and it's our 20th time of performing that piece, we really trust each other on mm-hmm. the concert stage and can try new things and create different musical ideas all the time rather than having to be stuck in one way. I mean, we know each other very, very well, as mm-hmm. you can imagine at this
yeah.
point.
How has performing together over the years changed, if at all?
Well, I think that we allow each other to take more risks in the concert hall because we know where everybody's instincts lie and that we're all there to really serve this music. And I think early on it was much more, you know, there was more careful watching of each other, what are we each going to do, and we were maybe a little bit more cautious about the music, but not so much anymore. I think now we really inspire each other and kind of egg each other on to give the best performances we can. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of changed. You know, when you trust your partners that well, you can do that. It's a really wonderful and exciting environment. And we're four very strong personalities, so it often has very interesting results.
I know this answer may differ among different members of the quartet, but for you, why did you choose a career as a chamber musician rather than that of a soloist?
Well, I think that it's, again, back to that music. I mean, when we play together, we are like a new instrument. And so I have my moments of being able to play a big solo part in the Bartok Quartet we're playing coming up. The third movement opens with an enormous cello solo. So I still get those moments. Mm-hmm. But yet I'm, you know, part of this team. And especially when you're on the road, it's something really wonderful about being part of a chamber group mm-hmm. because you always have friends there. You always have people to have dinner with mm-hmm. and time with that. But it's really, it comes down to the music, that the repertoire is so rich for string quartets. There's so many pieces, and we're commissioning works today as well. And just having the time to really deep ourselves in that, that's really interesting to me. When you look back at the great composers, many of them turn to the string quartet for their most intimate music, their most personal music. They reserved, you know, if they wanted to make a big public splash, they would write an opera or a symphony or a big concerto. Mm. But when they really wanted to express their innermost feelings, they would turn to string quartets. So it's wonderful. And of course, on the side, I still work on all that solo rep and occasionally do that for fun, you know, mm-hmm. as my hobby, as I like to joke about it. But string quartets are really, it's a very special thing.
What is the quartet performing on the Oak Ridge concert?
We're starting the program with Beethoven Opus 18, number 3, from his first set of quartets. And this actually, scholars think it was the very first quartet that he published. So it's from like 1800. Mm-hmm. And then we're performing Bartok's fourth string quartet. And the second half will be, we're back to Beethoven, but it's middle Beethoven this time. It's Beethoven Opus 59, number 2, the second of his Razumovsky quartets. And the two Beethovens are really interesting because you can watch this composer grow. Mm-hmm. There were only 6 years in between the two, but in that period of time, he went from being a composer who was a little nervous about following, he was stepping out of the shadows of Mozart and of Haydn. But by the time you get to the middle period, he had written the third symphony and the fourth symphony and the fourth piano concerto and his opera, and he was really coming into his own. And he had had some personal struggles in that time period. He knew he was losing his hearing. He considered not working anymore or even ending his life because, I mean, imagine a controversial composer who's losing his hearing. Just such a terrible thing to think about. And, yeah. You know, he tried everything. But he decided that he was going to come back and do the heroic thing. And he had music still in him to write. And, mm-hmm. you know, that comes out in the music. And it's really interesting when you see them on the same program performed by the same people. Because you can watch, you can track that growth. It's like knowing somebody when they're young and then meeting them again many years later and seeing how they've developed.
So how do they sound different? What are some of the stylistic differences?
Well, the middle period works are almost twice as long mm-hmm. as the early works. There's much more counterpoint going on. The texture is more symphonic, if mm-hmm. you will. It's a lot richer. In the earlier quartets, it's a little more, I would say, kind of first violin heavy, mm-hmm. More melodic material there, whereas in the later quartets, all of his later quartets, the four voices really become equal. So that's something that's different. And he's just, he was always revolutionizing things. He's trying different forms, and he does that more and more throughout his life. So, you know, we've made it a huge part of our work together in mm-hmm. the nearly 20 years to just steep ourselves in the music of Beethoven. We've recorded the middle and the late quartets, and we're about to record the early quartets. And for our 20th anniversary season, we will be releasing the entire Beethoven collection, which is really exciting.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I was actually wondering about that, if you all were going to record his early quartets. So that's exciting. Yeah. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, they've been a big part of our focus this year. You know, when we first formed in 1996, I remember sitting down and having a plan of, we had a 5-year plan where we were mm-hmm. going to learn them all and perform them all. And we started with the late quartets because at that point, way back then, we already felt like we had waited our whole lives to jump into these amazingly spiritual, magical late quartets. Mm-hmm. So we started with one of the very late ones, and people said to us, why are you starting there? We said, because the music's so good, we have to. Well, we ended up for the first 10 or 12 years as a quartet kind of getting stuck in the late period of Beethoven, which is a wonderful place to be stuck. But then we decided, we better make a concerted effort to work our way backwards through his works. And then the middle quartets became a focus for a while. And the last season and this season have been hold out the early quartets. And it's really like watching a friend sort of age in reverse, because you do see where all of the ideas come from for the later works. they're all there. The germs of the ideas are all there in the early works. The personality is all there. But it's just the way he approaches it, and his confidence level changes over time. And the amount of time we spend in Beethoven's world, like barely a week has gone by in our time together that we haven't been working on some work by Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost feels like it's a friend. It's somebody you know really well.
Going back to the other work that you were performing on the concert is Bartok String mm-hmm. Quartet number 4. Why did you select this work? Mm-hmm. Does it relate at all to the Beethoven quartets at all? Or do you just like the music of Bartok?
Bartok and Beethoven are really two of the greatest, composers of string quartets that ever existed. Bartok also turned to the string quartet to put his most personal face forward for that. And again, there's the way that he uses counterpoint, the way he uses the four instruments. There is something that is similar. I mean, it's 100 and some years later that he's writing, so it's in a different voice, and it's from a different country. But there is something so rich and personal. And this fourth quartet is, I'll never forget the first time I heard it performed live. I couldn't believe that it wasn't a brand new piece, and I couldn't believe that anyone could imagine that these four instruments could sound in these ways, because he uses a lot of extended techniques. There's an entire movement that's all plucked, which, granted, Ravel and Debussy did that in their pieces, but the way Bartok does it, he created new kinds of effects with the instruments. And the first time I saw it, I remember, as a student, my jaw hit the floor because I couldn't believe that the instruments could sound like this. It sounded like some kind of unusual folk instrument.
Hmm.
And it's unbelievably difficult. It's really virtuosic music. Hmm. But when the sounds combine, it's phenomenal. Scholars have written about it that it's probably the greatest and most profound achievement of Bartok's life was this fourth string quartet.
How do you all as a group decide what to perform and similarly what to record?
Well, we just don't have enough hours in the day, sadly, because we have very long meetings constantly trying to decide what, and we're often choosing repertoire for two seasons from now, right? We actually have our next three recording projects already lined up. So that's part of our repertoire. What is it we really want to spend time in down the line? But there's so many different pressures for what to play. Like, we love these standards, the masterpieces for string quartet, like the Beethoven and the Bartok. We also love finding the wonderful voices of composers today. Mm-hmm. We like to call them the living Beethovens,
mm-hmm.
where we champion these composers, we perform their pieces, and we record them, and we tour with them. So we've commissioned or premiered over 35 works so far, which is important to make sure that the art form is current, that it's not just something where we're looking back,
mm-hmm.
but that when people look back at this time period, they have something to reflect upon and say, oh, this is the art of this time, too. So that's important. And then a third category that we really love is a set of music that we like to call forgotten jewels, pieces of music that have been overlooked for some reason or another in history and that are wonderful pieces and deserve to have a second listening. Many of them were written between World War I and II,
mm-hmm.
when people weren't really paying attention to what the great music was. They were just trying to live.
Mm-hmm.
So there's great, great work from that time. So that's important. So then we have to balance our programs between those three sets of things. Also, when we're touring, we don't want to have like 50 pieces to play every year.
Right.
Because that would be too many notes to keep in the fingers mm-hmm. and in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to narrow it down to what makes sense with programs. And then presenters, people who invite us to come there, often have desires of what they want. So
mm-hmm.
it's a really complicated sort of braiding of desires and needs and wants. And it's really fun. Actually, there's always way more music to perform and record than we actually have time to do.
Can you talk a little bit about your call and response program?
Sure, yeah. So when we first formed in San Francisco, one of the things we were talking about a lot was, what do each of us like? How do we want to approach this music? How do we want to present the music in the world out there? And we found that, all of us had this love of Beethoven and that we all wanted to record. We all wanted to commission composers, too. And so we thought of this great, it's a commissioning and outreach project.
Mm-hmm.
So every year for the last, this will be our 16th year, we choose a set of pieces that are from the standard literature for a string quartet. And often there are pieces where one composer heard another composer's work and was influenced to write a piece for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can put the two pieces together and really see how they relate. And then we commission a living composer to write a response to that earlier call of the two pieces. Sometimes you can see that the inspiration is exact, like between Mozart and Beethoven, where young Beethoven is almost copying the Mozart, you know. And other times we've just chosen like a general subject, like poetry or exoticism. This year's program is based on the idea of night and what is night music. So we're looking at some Beethoven and some Bartok, both of whom had, you know, a kind of music that related to the night. And then we commissioned this year French composer Philippe Elfon to write a quartet based on that, which mm-hmm. he actually titled The Starry Sky.
mm-hmm.
So that's the program. So we've always performed that program in San Francisco. But before that time, leading up to that, we visit about 25 schools and community centers
mm-hmm.
where we talk to the people about the ideas we're working with here, about how inspiration doesn't just strike you like lightning. It's an ongoing process of inspiration. You know, you've grown up with different types of music and it's all coming sort of through you and out of you. And then the culminating event is the concert, and the students that we visit, all of them are offered tickets for free, and we often bus them in to the performance. So it's a regular chamber music concert, but about half the audience is under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all really well prepared because they had a lesson plan in their classrooms, and then we visited, and they're really enthusiastic. So we're sort of building an audience for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, when we initially started this idea, we wanted to, you know, people were always complaining that concert halls were, like, the audiences were just getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, could we build a new concert audience in this way? And it ends up being a tremendously special energy in the concert hall. And I think the regular chamber music goers are always taken aback a little bit when they walk in and they see so many young students.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they listen to what the, you know, the students are talking about, I've had many of them say to me, I can't believe it. They're, you know, they're discussing that Beethoven's Opus 131 was written in C sharp minor, and what a cool key that is. So it's working, let's say. After 16 years, it's definitely working here. And in fact, some of the early students we had in the first days, 16, 15, 14 years ago, they're now out of college, and some of them are music teachers who come back and bring their own students to the concert. So
that's
part's been really special for us, too.
That is so neat. Well, Jennifer, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day.
Thank you, Melanie.
Once again, that was Jennifer Kletzel, the cellist of the Cypress String Quartet, who is presenting a concert this Saturday night in Oak Ridge. The concert is at 7:30 p.m. and is being given in Pollard Auditorium. More information on this event is available at 483-5569 or online at orcma.org.